a gracious eternal Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for making a way for us to come to your house. Lord, for the time we were here last Sunday, you have kept us under your mercy and protection. We thank you in all our going out and our coming in. Lord, you preserve our lives from dangers and perils. We thank you, our Father. Thank you for helping us today too and for bringing us to your house. Lord, to fellowship with you around your words. And Lord, we pray that you minister to our needs this evening. Lord, inspire us when the time of prayer comes that we might pray as your saints, Lord. Grant it, everlasting Father. We know, Heavenly Father, that you are supreme, you are sovereign in your own plans. Lord, you decided everything that will happen and you brought us here, Master Saviour. And as the day goes by, you are accomplishing your purpose in the life of each and every one of us. Our prayer, Lord, is that you make use of today again to draw us closer to you. Grant these things, Eternal Father. Forgive our sins and our shortcomings, Lord. Lord Jesus, may we find a place of rest, especially for those who are yet to find that. Let it be, Eternal Father. At the end of the day, all the glory and honor will be yours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Welcome ourselves to the prayer meeting as we open our Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Just to read a little, remind us of a little word of exhortation. Why we still maintain the topic responsibilities. Well, the part of the responsibilities of Christians that we want to talk about. We're going to read from verse 21 to 35, chapter 18 of Matthew. Reading from verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as they had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. And he laid hold on him and took him by the throat, saying, Hear me, thou goest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him said unto him, O thou wicked servant, wicked indeed, I forgive thee all thy debts because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Oh, you can please be seated. This account that we read in this Matthew chapter 18 is repeated in several parts of the scripture. In Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord himself was, when the disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, that disciples, John's disciples, knew how to pray, but that he should teach them how to pray. And he talked to them. So, he taught them how to pray. And there, before we move forward, here is what the Lord said when he was teaching them how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 10. Okay, from 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, that will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Then verse 12. And forgive us our trespasses, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have the same account in Mark chapter 11, where the Lord was, his attention was called unto the fig tree that he caused, and then along the line was making them to realize it, to say to this mountain, move shit, and be cast out of where you are, that he shall be, and whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe and you shall have it. And he went further to tell us from verse 20 of Mark chapter 11. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven will forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So that's very great. It's a responsibility to the believers. Praise be to God. So I want to bring this along the line of brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. I want to blend it with it. The prophet says, brotherly kindness, of course, looking at it from the chart there, is the seventh. And it is the last, is the virtue of the last age, which we are, brotherly kindness. Abraham says, then, okay, let me leave that out. So that I don't start the Bible said here, having brotherly love, brotherly kindness. That's paragraph 312. The stature of a perfect man. The stature of a perfect man, paragraph 312. He said, the Bible said here, having brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now, that's a good one, right? Here, right here. The servant. All right. Having brotherly kindness. All right. When we get to that brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place. One on the matter. Now you say, my brother sinned against me. He said, Peter, shall I forgive him? He said, 7 times a day. He said, 70 times 7. See? That's where we read. That's our text here. Brotherly kindness. What's wrong with this? Brotherly kindness. Now, you see, if a brother is all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. See? No, see? Be kind to him. Go anyhow. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe these things that the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness or the rest? The reason is because the oneness, the assemblies of God, they are Trinitarians. And Abraham is not a Trinitarian. I use the word his with an understanding. Abraham is not a Trinitarian. Is a believer in God manifesting in the flesh. So, with many other things that he preached, that the oneness don't believe, that the assembly of God don't believe, that Abraham still goes on their midst. He still had meetings. And somebody was telling Abraham that with this thing that you believe that you preach, you still go to the midst of these people. And still go to the assemblies of God. How can you believe these things the way you do? And still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness or the rest. Then put brotherly kindness. See. Hoping someday. See. Patience with him. See. Temperance. Enduring with him. Knowledge. To understand what he believes. Remember, it is in his heart. That's what is the virtue in yourself, to let it go out with kindness, meekness to him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. See? Brotherly kindness does not write anybody off. Doesn't write anybody off. Does not say that because this one I don't, this one is, that's the end for him. The nature of God, that brotherly kindness is brought to us because we have the nature, we have the mind of Christ. Praise be to God. You can't exercise that brotherly kindness if you don't have the nature of Christ, if you don't have the mind of Christ. And to have the mind of Christ, you know what it means? It's when the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. And we know how this thing started. How somebody comes in, how this thing is added into somebody's life is at the stage of the first stage, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, it is not a natural thing for somebody to have brotherly kindness. Abraham displayed it not a lot during his time. Abraham said that was brotherly kindness. They were to choose, and Abraham gave Lot the right of first choice. The right of first choice, and say, oh, here is this. There's no struggling.
struggling with Abraham, or Abraham trying to struggle with Lord and say that, I have to ram your elder. I am this. I have to ram this. I'm this. Abraham gave him the choice of first place. And I say, oh, the land is before you. Here is everything. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the front, I'll go this way, so that there won't be any conflict any longer among our herdsmen. No conflict between Abraham and Lot, but among the herdsmen. But in order to put a permanent solution to that, they need to separate, because that's what God actually wanted Abraham to do. And that's why he didn't have all the full blessings. And Lot, being the type of person that he was, he didn't look at Abraham and say, ah, you are older than my father. You are supposed to choose first. Why are you asking me to choose? Please choose first. After you have chosen, then I will choose. Lot, he didn't say that. He just went ahead and said, wow, what a great opportunity you gave to me. And he grabbed it. The choice he made landed him in problem. He was given the first choice, first place to make the first decision, the place to make the first choice. But he misused it. He looked at the land where it's well watered and very close to Sodom. Well, what are we bringing out of here is that this brother Canaan is the character of this age that we are in. And so it's a responsibility to forgive. And we saw Abraham after he had done that. And then you see what happened to Lot. Where Lot chose, he was taken captive. His wife, his children, and everything that he had. Can you remember that? Abraham did not say, it's good for him. It serves him right. This covetous boy, he did not know his elder. This is what he should have done. Abraham did that from the bottom of his heart. Abraham did that from the bottom. There wasn't any ill motive in Abraham's mind for doing that. It was a perfect mind of Abraham that said, wherever you go, Abraham did not even think about anything. So when Lot got into trouble and information got to Abraham, Abraham did not use that to say that this boy that chose the first place, serves you right. He gathered his men, and with a little weapon they had, he pursued after those who took them captive. He was able to recover Lot from the hands of the captives, defeated them with his men, and saved Lot and his wives and his family and everything and the property, and he restored him back. Praise be to God. It is a responsibility that we must understand God puts on us, so that we can always remember that we don't own our own lives. God owns our lives. Praise be to God. I want to read a few places here. let me get them out of here. The world is falling apart. I want to read. The world is falling. 63, April 12. Preach in the morning. Paragraph 27. So, therefore, to take away other system of keeping the world together than God's system, it is a perversion. So anything perverted has to have an end, because everything that had a beginning has an end. I'm reading from here so that I will blend it. It is the thing that did not begin that never dies, never has an end. And there's only one thing that never did begin, and that was God. Therefore, the only way we can ever live eternal is to have God's own life in us. And that's eternal life. God separated himself among us, giving us his spirit like he did on Pentecost, and it was seen in symbols of fire from the pillar of fire that separated himself among the people to give his own life out to the people, and through this, the mind of Christ should be operating
among us.
It is through the Spirit of God that the mind of Christ comes to us. If we don't have the Spirit of God, we don't have the mind of Christ. We have our own mind. We think our own thoughts. We have our own ideas. We will not be able to do what God wants us to do. Like I said, Abraham was not making it up to try to do what he did. It was in him. Praise be to God.
All right, let me put this along with it.
The only way God can express himself through us is when we have his mind in us.
Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paragraph 2, 1, 8. 2, 1, 8.
It's not expressions of some church that we should express something. It is a life that you don't live yourself, but it comes in you and lives by himself. And you become a prisoner to any human intellectual being at all. You are led by the Spirit, and how do you know? Now you say, I might know I was losing my mind. Maybe a man that loses his mind does that. But if you have the mind of Christ, Christ expresses himself through you. He shows that is him. You have not lost your mind. Now, coming back to forgiveness. Many people feel that to forgive somebody is to be a fool. It is not to be a fool. To forgive is to do yourself a favor, as we have read. Because the basis of fellowship is forgiveness. The basis of fellowship. There cannot be fellowship without forgiveness. God demonstrated that in the beginning. He had to kill animal and atone for the sins of Adam and Eve before that could be. And that was when, fellowship was restored back between him and those people. Though it was not a perfect fellowship that he desired, but fellowship was restored through the shedding of the blood. And that's why the Bible tells us that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. And if sins are not remitted, then there's no forgiveness. When there's no forgiveness, there's no fellowship. So God establishes that we forgive one another. If somebody has hurt you one way or the other, somebody has done something to you one way or the other, the person does not need to come to you to ask for forgiveness before you as a person will forgive them. You don't need to. Because what the scripture that we have read here is not saying that the person has to come to you to apologize. The first question Peter asked Jesus is, how many times shall I forgive my brother if he offends me? Did he say as many times as he's come to me? He didn't say that. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Pay 7 times. Any trespass after 7 times should not be forgiven him. Jesus said, I didn't tell you 7 times. I said 70 times 7. Mathematically, how many times is that? 490. 490 times. Now, it will mean that the person too does not have job. That somebody will have to be offending you 490 times in a day. And the person that will be offending somebody too has no job. How many hours do we have in a day? We have 24 hours. How many minutes do we have in a day? 60 times 24, is that not? So, it means that the person himself is idle. So it's not, Jesus Christ is presenting to all that there is no ground for you not to forgive. There's no ground not to forgive, and there's not anybody will do for you that you cannot forgive. Trespass is trespass. It's brotherly kindness that fellow pilgrim should enjoy, because it's conditional. If you want forgiveness from God, then of necessity you must forgive others. If you want God to forgive you, the first prayer Jesus was told to teach the disciples was that, forgive us our debts, that's our trespasses, as we, you see it, just as we forgive others, forgive us. In other words, if we don't forgive others, then we don't stand in the position to be forgiven. Some people have unforgiving spirit. Well, it will only mean that you haven't received forgiveness from God. That's what it means. Somebody offends you and you say that it's not on this earth, it is in heaven, we are going to settle it. Well, they don't settle quarrel in heaven. You don't have scripture for that. It's here, right here. And the problem is also, you know, that death does not change a man's nature. It only changes the dwelling place of that person. The prophet said, if you are a liar here and you die, you are going to be a liar over there. Of course, where is the liar going? He's going to hell when he or she dies. A thief dies, goes to hell. He's going to go as a thief. He's going to go as a fornicator, as a murderer, as whatever evil the nature of that person is before the person, that's what the person carries there. If he's a Christian, he's sleeping as a Christian and his soul is not going to hell. He's going to the sixth dimension while his body rests in the grave when they lay him. It's a blessed plan of God for his people. The reason is because, you know, the Bible makes us to know that some people's sins go ahead of them. Please preach the scripture for us. Some people's sins go ahead. Why some people's sins come behind them? Is that not? And then, you know what that you know the implication of that? Those people who have their sins going before them have their sins already atoned. They are already forgiven. It's already settled. Their sins have gone ahead. They have confessed it. They have made it right. Jesus has pleaded their case. It's settled for them. Nothing is written against them again. But those who have their sins coming behind them, may God be merciful to them. Those are the ones that will not forgive others. Those are the ones that will not repent while they are here. For God to forgive anybody, you must meet the condition that God places. When a sinner comes to God, he has God for forgiveness. And then when God brings to your knowledge that you must forgive those who offend you, and he say, well, I'm not ready. Until they prostrate and come and lick the dirty debts on my shoes, I will not forgive. If he does not do this, I will not forgive him. If she does not do this, I will not forgive her. She must come and prostrate 3 times and humble himself before me. Yeah, that is you as a human being. That's not God's recommendation. In fact, he doesn't need to come to you, like we have said, to ask for forgiveness before you forgive. The Christian is a person that they don't teach how to forgive. They don't teach a Christian to forgive. Just like you don't teach a Christian to love. It's just like we have read here that the prophet said that the Holy Spirit is what brings the nature of Christ into us. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you are also called to the ministry of reconciliation. So how then you will not forgive others? How then will you hold somebody in your mind and say that, well, you know, I will not forgive this person? And forgiveness is a necessity as we continue in the journey. People will get you offended. People will step on your toes. It might not be willingly. And if it is willingly, the condition is that you must forgive those who trespass against you. Whether the person purposely did it or unintentionally. That one is not God's business. When it comes to you forgiven, You just have to, if you want God to forgive you, if you want to stand on, if you have a right, if you want to have a right standing with God, you must clear your own coast. You must clear your own coast. Because that is part of the problem that will be on your coast that you must clear. Forgiveness is a responsibility. As we continue in this Christian journey, we must ensure that we clear our course. Brother offends you, sister offends you by behavior, by this, by that, by that. You will be a sinner before God. God will be having things against you if you don't forgive others. Because when you don't forgive people, you cannot have true fellowship with them. You can't have true fellowship. You imagine God does not forgive sins. How can we fellowship with him? That is why First John, let's read that.
First John, as that comes to my mind, so we're going to pray now. First John, chapter, Revelation of John. I think First John, chapter 1.
All right, let me read chapter 1 from verse 8. All right, let me read from verse 1. All right, John, 1 John chapter 1. We will be closing on this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we made him a liar and his word is not in us. Let us go on to chapter 2. I think that's where the root canal is. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandment. He that said, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is who? Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that said he abided in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. The Old Testament, the old commandment is the word which ye have had from the beginning. Again, a new commandments I write unto you, which thing is true and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that said he is in the light, and hated his brother, is in darkness even until now. You see, he that loved his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hated his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins have forgiven you for his name's sake. And maybe we can stop it there. Praise be to God. Brotherly kindness is the responsibility that we must forgive. If we don't forgive, then hatred is in our heart. And when you have hatred in your heart, then you are in darkness. And the worst thing is to be in darkness to say one is in the light. You know, that's a great deception. That's a great deception that the devil can put somebody. Worst condition that the devil can put somebody in. It was being in darkness and claim that it's in the light. The person cannot be helped. The person is then falls into Laodicean church age. Thou art blind, wretched, miserable, and naked, and you don't know it. Yet, they say that they are rich. May God be our help. Let's bow our heads and talk to the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Let's have our eyes closed. Body, have your eyes closed. If you know you find it difficult to forgive people, that is unforgiving spirit, that might have been an hindrance in many ways in your spiritual progress, in your physical progress, even in your health, any other areas. And you feel that God has talked to you this evening and you want the Lord to break that thing out of your life. With all eyes closed, I want you to raise your hand while our pastor will come and pray for us.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much, Lord, for another opportunity given to us to come together. Men and women, boys and girls of life, precious faith. Lord, to fellowship around your word, the living oracles that you have left for us at this airtime. Wherein lays rapturing faith. There, O God, you instructed your prophet to lay the word in the store for us that we will have need of it. Lord Jesus, a portion of it has gone to us again this evening, talking to us about forgiveness. Lord Jesus, we know, O God, that the nature of man that we were born in, with, in the natural, does not have that ability to forgive. That is why it takes a man that is regenerated, according to what we have just heard. It takes a man that will be born of your spirit, that your spirit is dwelling in him. We bring your nature, your character to him, to be able, Lord, to forgive. And you are giving us the condition that if we ourselves has to be forgiven, we have to forgive those that trespass against us. Lord Jesus, we see the condition. Every one of us want to be forgiven. Lord, if we are not forgiven, then what are we doing? What are we coming to church for? What is our hope? Lord, we are praying and asking, oh God, if we find that it is difficult for us to obey this simple instruction that your word has given unto us, it means that our nature has not been changed yet. And you are the only one that can change our nature. We are therefore at this hour calling upon thee, O God, that as many of us as are in that condition, may you come for our rescue. In the name of Jesus Christ, give us your spirit. We know if we have your spirit, automatically we live the life that you live. May you help us, O Father. It's our prayers. Those that have raised their hands, those that are on the altar, every one of us, this word has spoken unto us. We ask, O Father, that you be gracious unto us, Lord. Meet us at the point of our knees. That is why we come to your house. That the work that you have started in us by making us to hear and recognize the messenger and the message of our day. Lord, that you will continue that work in us until we become what you want us to become. Don't cease to further your work in us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Bless yourself and strengthen him for the virtue that has left him as we commit the rest of the service into your hands. When it comes to us to pray, O God, may you inspire us, may we pray and become a saint. Give us option, O Father. Thank you, righteous Father. Blessed be thy holy name. If a man is sick and he goes to the doctor, which your prophet said, a sensible person will do that. He said, but when the doctor fails, he said, we go to the higher world, the great physician. Lord Jesus, if a man goes to the doctor, I hide his feelings from the doctor. And will the doctor diagnose what is wrong with him? Lord Jesus, have mercy upon us, O God. May we open up, may we confess our weaknesses, our inability. May you take them away from us, O Father. And give us your grace. Give us your spirit. Give us your ability, Lord, to be able to live the kind of life you expect us to live. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be thy name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Welcome ourselves to a prayer meeting and for being partakers of the blessings of the day. God bless you. May the blessings be permanent. All that we are placed before him, may the Lord give us testimonies. Let us sing before I hand over 180. Close to thee, thou my everlasting portion.
My pilgrim journey.
our words. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for this privilege to be in your house for the midweek prayer meeting. Thank you, dear Lord, for the blessings we have received, Lord, from the worship service, from the preaching of your word. And thank you very much also for the privilege that we have to talk back unto you in the hour of prayer. Thank you for written requests of your children. And thank you for those that we have on the slide that were read, we prayed over, and the additional verbal that was raised, and perhaps other ones that, Lord, we spoke to you about as individuals. We thank you for all things. We ask that you give us faith to believe the prayers as we have committed them unto you based on the promises that you have made unto us, that you are going to supply our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let it be there, Father, that shortly there will be testimony concerning each of our requests to the glory and the honor of your name. Your servant you have used to take the service, we ask you to replenish his strength and lift up the horn of his ministry. The servant who is on mission trip presently at Owode, we pray that you be with him and be his strength and see him to their father. By the time he will be returning back, may he come back home with abundance of testimonies. Thank you, eternal Father. When the service is dismissed tonight and we go back to our homes, you are the one that brought us safely, take us back home safely. Give us a wonderful night's rest. We want to commit our garden on Friday to your hand. O Lord, for the breaking of bread, we pray you bless our garden and may you promote your kingdom in our life, Father. And Lord, thereafter, the Sunday service, we pray that you also prepare us for the same and let it be a great time of refreshment in your presence. Thank you, eternal Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. For granting our petitions, because we have asked them all with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Yeah, the pastor said he spoke with Pastor Yedepo today, Israel James, and he sent greetings to the church through him. And Sister Deborah, we I think she called me yesterday that the husband lost his brother, and we want to pass our condolences. Pray the Lord will comfort himself, yourself, and the entire family. God bless you. As we have it on the WhatsApp platform, well, about 3 Wednesdays ago, though I heard that Pastor Bamashaye wasn't feeling well towards the end of last year, and that I was told that he did the surgery, though I couldn't understand what was done as surgery when I had, he told me that he returned home the same day. But later I understand that it wasn't really a surgery per se. It's what the medical people call biopsy. It's taking of a sample of a part of the body for test. Well, I didn't know the type of sickness he was having or the extent of the same. We met last at the funeral of Pastor Luafemi in October. And we coordinate the programs together. And there wasn't any sign of sickness one could see physically. And we didn't even have much time to discuss because the very day of the wake-up, his son had a major accident also that led to operation of the head as to go through head surgery. And himself has to be running between Ado-Ekiti and Ido-Ekiti for quite some time. And as the young man was coming down from that, that was where himself went for the biopsies. I understand just recently that at the
December convention in Ekiti that was not active. I was mostly sitting in the car and was weak. Well, I didn't hear any reports about that one until just this recently. About 3 Wednesdays ago, today makes it 3 Wednesdays, some ministers called me that they want to, that we should have a VG prayer for him in the night. So we had about 2 hours prayers for him in the night, 3 Wednesdays ago. Himself was also with us, and because he spoke to us after the prayers. And I think after that, the week following, he was okay. After that Wednesday, towards that weekend, he was getting weaker. And then on Monday following, which was last week Monday, he was admitted in the hospital, and they run some tests and the rest of it. So on Tuesday, I spoke with the doctor that he was in his facility. That was Dr. Pius. And he told me the details of what is on ground. He said it was not surgery did in November. It was biopsies. And it was that biopsies that scattered the something in his system. And the biopsies was of prostate, and it was proven that the prostate was already cancerous, and the biopsy spread the cancer to the liver. And he told me then that it's already on stage 4, which is the last stage. He said medically there is nothing that is possible except a miracle. So, it was in the evening we discussed. As we finished discussion, sleep ran away from me. So, I took some hours also to pray that night. So, we're in God's hands. You know, he is the supreme judge. Whatever he decides finally, that is what takes place. And then I was falling the event by Monday, that's day before yesterday, the doctor called me again that the daughter first called me that the daddy is using oxygen, the fixed oxygen on him, that his breathing is low. Then the doctor also communicated with me that this is the present stage. Okay, so I was falling in the afternoon. Then he sent me a message that he has finally gone by 2:40 something p.m. And it was catastrophic because many are not even aware I was down. So yesterday morning, myself and the brother Kendi Abioye, we traveled to Adoekiti. We just came back just at the beginning of the service. I couldn't change just the dress I wore that I just started coming to church after I took a little food. And because the place wasn't a palatable place, but when we got there, talked to the wife, then she was able to absorb some things and go better. She's been better since that yesterday. And then this morning we also, when we slept in the nearby building, and we went there to have a devotion with them and have some time with them. I think that helped them also. So yesterday we had a meeting and serve another ministers that were present. Brother Yomi Peters came from Port Harcourt. Brother Lincoln came from away. He even followed us from Ibadan here, and we also dropped him in Ibadan this evening. And Pastor Gweyega too, Brother Tosin, Olosunde, Brother Neyi, Adeni, Yeye, and I think then Pastor Rotimi of Ajakuta also came with his wife. So he was also with us at the meeting. And his junior brothers, two of them, and Brother Auntie, who is also the wife's junior brother, and Marvelous, the first son, had a meeting about the way forward. And we have some things highlighted for the funeral. And we fixed it for 26th and 27th of February. We understand that yesterday made it a week that his uncle also left. And the body is still in the morgue to be buried around 17 or thereabout of next month. So after his, then that of February family will follow. Yes, a little. He was to retire this March in our front. That's a month of his retirement. And it was quite a thing. So today we went to look at where the body will be interred. We went to look at the hall. And then we left the rest of the assignment for those who are there to move around. So we formed a group because he's the main person in his church as a minister. Even in Ekiti, anything they want to do in Ekiti, from Akure down, he's the chief planner. If he's not the one. Now, if he's somebody else, that of Pastor Lafemi is the brain behind the plans. He's always active up and down and everything. But this one, there's nobody there who can stand up and say he can do any plan. Nobody. So that's why we have to get and quite some money is needed for the, because everything is costly now. You understand, one place we are pricing caskets, say the lease is 500,000, the hall is 850,000. You know, and people that we attend, the funeral will not be less than between 800 and 1,000, and so on and so forth. You can visualize what is ahead. So we trust that the Lord will be with them and also help us to play our part. God bless you. Let's bring prayers for the second to the last born. His second daughter was writing her final exam when the event took place. And she just wrote the first day. Throughout this week, she's writing her final exam. And so the senior ones have to go and meet her in school because she has had through unsolicited social platform advertisement. So she sent a message to the senior brother that what of daddy? That one says, you don't mind all those ones. Then she called her immediate senior sister, oh yeah, give phone to daddy, let me talk to him. I say, daddy is sleeping. Because she has heard. No, people don't, many people have brain without wisdom behind it. Yeah, I have to speak a bit hard to one minister yesterday because the family were not happy because of the way the information was scattered, uncoordinated. It caused catastrophe seriously. And may the Lord be our help. When any job you are not given, don't do it. Don't do it. Just do the one you are asked to do, and that is all. But sometimes people take the light and like they want to be the first one to broadcast. Broadcast what? Broadcast what? There is good news, you will not spread. Then it is the bad one you want to broadcast. May the Lord be our help. The Lord bless you. We hope to meet on Friday for the breaking of bread. And then we'll be briefing us further on things about it as the time goes. It shall rise. Pastor Boyega and the rest of the people there, including Sister Bamshaya, accept your send greetings and covet our prayers also. All right, 198 as we dismiss is coming soon.